I thought this morning we'd take an opportunity, we'd do a little bit of Yom in the Yom Mashiach, take a break from the regular sugyas. So I thought we'd talk specifically about the unique halachas when Erev Pesach falls out on Friday. Usually people think Erev Pesach falls out on Shabbos is what to say, so when Erev Pesach falls out on Friday, there's also a little bit extra to say. Particularly, of course, that means that the first Seder falls out on Friday night. So what are some of the ramifications of that setup in the calendar? So whatever we don't finish this year, we can save off maybe for next year. Okay. And maybe when I'm Mikdash, it'll be a different setup. But at least for now, this year, we'll try to save up some of the dinim. So in the Beis HaMikdash itself, when Erev Pesach falls out on Friday, there's a very important difference. It's the first Mishnah in the beginning of the fifth parak in Maseches Pesachim, that Erev Pesach falling out on Friday throws off the whole timing of the Korban Pesach for purely a technical consideration, because even though the halach is that Korban Pesach is Necha Shabbos, that means that the Shechitas HaPesach is Necha Shabbos. So when Erev Pesach falls out on Shabbos, the halach is that you're allowed to Shech the Korban Pesach, you're mechuv to Shech the Korban Pesach on Shabbos itself. There was a whole sugya at the beginning of the sixth back in Pesach, I'm showing you from Sukkim, from Kervis, for that din. So when Erev Pesach falls out on Shabbos, the Korban Pesach is brought, the Shechit, even though Shechit is a Malacha, is done on Shabbos. However, when Erev Pesach falls out on Friday, so then the Shechit obviously isn't the problem of Malacha, that even would be on Yom. But normally the roasting of the meat of the Korban Pesach would be done at night. When you have time, you're allowed to roast on Yom Tif. But when Erev Pesach falls out on Friday, then you have a problem, because you're not allowed to roast the meat on Friday night. Hi, Korban Pesach is Doicha Shabbos. The answer is that's not true. Korban Pesach is Necha Shabbos, that means the Shechita, because it's impossible to Shech Yibiyod Yom. When Erev Pesach falls out on Shabbos, so then the Shechita must take place at that moment, on Shabbos itself, so then it's Necha Shabbos. Whereas the Tzli, the roasting of the Korban Pesach, you can do that on Friday. So whatever you can do Yibiyod Yom, you have to do Yibiyod Yom. So the Tzli Eish, the roasting, would not be Necha Shabbos. So what's the big deal? So you do the roasting on Friday. So why is that so significant? It is significant because basically it forces us to Shech the Korban Pesach earlier than we would have wanted to do so, because we're going to be pressed for time. It's a purely practical consideration. If you shech the Korban Pesach late in the day on Friday, there's not going to be enough time for everybody to roast the meat. So therefore, we're going to push the shech of the Korban Pesach earlier on Friday than we would under normal circumstances. How early can we push it? As early as we can. And how early is early? So it happens to be Machlekes HaTanoim. As exactly when is the earliest time to shech the Korban Pesach? The Torah says Bein Harbayim. So there's a shot in the Torah. How do you translate Bein Harbayim? So there's one Tana that says that Bein Harbayim means even in the morning. You can even shech the Korban Pesach as long as it's on the 14th of Nisan. It's Bein Harbayim. It's between last night's evening and tonight's evening. Even in the morning would be okay. We don't pass that. We pass that Bein Harbayim means that it has to be between the beginning of the evening and the end of the beginning of the evening. What does that mean? After Chatzos, the minute that the second after Chatzos, so the sun is already starting to dip in the other direction. So that's the beginning of the Erev. And then the end of the Erev, the end of the process of Erev is when the sun sets. So Bein Harbayim means between the beginning of the sun setting and the end of the sun setting, that's the Zman of Shechitas Korban Pesach. So that's how we pass in Halacha. It gives you a pretty big window of opportunity, about 6 hours to Shech the Korban Pesach. The Gemara says, no, not so simple. You don't really have a full 6 hours. Because the halacha is you have to shech the korban tamid first. The Gemara derives from Sukkim that you have to shech the korban tamid, and then do you shech the korban pesach. So you need a little bit of time. You can't shech the korban tamid till ben arba'im. So you need a little bit of time also. So what should happen is that the split second you have to chatzel, so you should shech the korban tamid and then shech the korban pesach. The Gemara says that's also no good, because there's a technical consideration that if you shech the korban tamid right after chatzos, you may have made a mistake. It was cloudy, you couldn't tell the shadows in the Beis HaMikdash. It's hard to tell exactly what time it is. And by mistake, you may have shechted the korban tamid before chatzos, which would we pass it would be possible even with the evet. So therefore, the Chacham made a takana, not just in Erev Pesach, but a regular day, that you're not allowed to shech the korban tamid until a half hour after chatzos. That way, after a half hour, it's unlikely to make a mistake. That's what the Gemara says in the fourth Berakah Brachas, that's the source of the din. You're not supposed to daven mincha on a regular day until at least a half hour after chatzos. Even though me'ikra din, my mincha should be at chatzos, but since in the days of the Beis HaMikdash, they waited a half hour in order to make sure the korban wasn't too early, so too, when we daven mincha, can I get a tevilim tiknum, so you have to wait that extra half hour as well. What if on a regular day, not doing our face, what if a regular day, if a person daven mincha too early, means he daven mincha after chatzos, but before that half hour, so the Mishnah Berurah is not sure what the din is. Mishnah Berurah is not sure whether b'diavad he would be yaitzei tefillah, whether maybe he has to daven over again. So the Yerucha Shulchan writes, he can't believe that you wouldn't be yaitzei. In the base of Mikdash, you would be yaitzei the carbon. If you brought a carbon, they brought the carbon tabi by mistake at 12:15 instead of 12:30. So the ma'is says, after this man, as long as it was really after chatzos, so b'diavad they would be yaitzei. So how in the world can it be that because we made it to corner not to make a mistake, we're going to make a guy daven shmoneh esrei over again? You can't believe it. So Chashulchan Baskins, that if a person goofed and he daven mincha a couple minutes too early, it's not the end of the world. So whatever it is, but under normal circumstances, you don't bring the korban tamid until at least a half hour after chatzos. So on a regular Erev Pesach, what should happen is like this. You should bring the korban tamid, let's say, probably we're taking chatzos at 12 o'clock. Before change the clock, so it's 12 o'clock. So you bring the carbon tumid at 12:30. Then should bring the carbon pesach. As soon as you finish bringing the carbon tumid, should bring the carbon pesach. That's what should happen. So the Mishnah says in the beginning of the Chazal didn't want to do that because they were afraid that if you bring the carbon tumid so early, and then you bring the carbon pesach so early, even on a regular day, you bring the carbon tumid so early. So the din is that you're not allowed to bring any carbon after the carbon tumid. That was yesterday's pasha. All the karbonos have to be brought before the karbon tamid shel bein arbayim. They have to be brought after the karbon tamid shel shachar and before the karbon tamid shel bein arbayim. So if you're going to bring the karbon tamid in the afternoon at 12:30, you're basically closing up the Beis Hamikdash for the day. So Chazal worried about the latecomers. The guys who wake up at 11 o'clock till they get ready. They don't show up to the Beis Hamikdash until 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So you're going to tell them they can't come anymore. Tell them you can't bring your carbon today. They're not going to come back the next day. So therefore they made it to Takanas HaChamim not to bring the carbon tumid so fast. On a regular day, don't bring it at 12:30. Wait a few hours. So they made it to Takanas, wait until 3 hours. Wait till what we call Mincha Ketana. Wait till instead of 6.5 hours into the day, bring it 9.5 hours into the day. That'll give people a few extra minutes to bring the carbonos. So the Mishnah says in the beginning of the Fifth Maseches Pesachim that when Erev Pesach fell out on Erev Shabbos, they were in a little bit of a bind. Because on the one hand, they didn't want to bring the Korban Tumid so early, they wanted to give the latecomers a chance to bring the private Korbanos. On the other hand, they were pressed for time. Because if you dray around and bring the Korban Tumid at 3:30 in the afternoon, then you're going to first start shechting the Korban Pesach at 4:30 in the afternoon. Now, on a regular Erev Pesach, that's terrible. But on Erev Pesach, Chalios, Erev Shabbos, you're not going to have enough time to roast the Korban Pesach. You're not going to roast Korban Pesach. No one's going to be able to eat the Pesach that night. Because the Tzliya Pesach is not Dechi Shabbos. Because it's Efshim B'Yod Yom. And you're not allowed to eat the Korban Pesach if it's not Tzliyesh. So in order to balance this act, now we're in a little bit of a problem. Because on the one hand, we don't want to bring the Korban Tumid too early. On the other hand, we can't afford to bring it too late. So every once in a while, every few years, when our Pesach will fall out on Friday, the Chacham tells everybody, you better come in the morning to the Beis Hamikdash. If you want to bring Korbanos, the Beis Hamikdash is going to close up early today, because we must bring the Korban Tumid at the earliest possible moment. So this was the only time, every 4, 5, 10 years, whenever it was, so they would actually bring the Korban Tumid at Chatzos, not literally Chatzos, a half hour after Chatzos, they would bring the Korban Tumid at the Zman of what we call Mincha Gedola, in order to enable them to bring the Korban Pesach afterwards, in order to enable them to roast the Korban Pesach afterwards. This was the one time in every few years when they would actually avail themselves of the Din D'Oraisa of bringing the Korban Tumid at the earliest possible moment. Is this relevant to Chlal B'Zman Hazeh? So it's relevant, maybe, depends who you ask. So there's Mechlekes and Rishonim about when we daven Mincha, so we try to mimic the Zman of the Korban Tumid. So when is the right time to daven mincha? On a regular day, not do it on Pesach. On a regular day, when is the right time to daven mincha? So some of the Rishonim said that you could daven mincha as soon as they could have theoretically brought the Korban Tumid. So since they could have brought the Korban Tumid at Chatzos plus a half hour, that's the earliest time for mincha. So it's 1:34, whatever it is, whatever this man mincha gedola is, you could daven mincha lechet chila shom lechet chila. Nothing to worry about. And other Rishonim say no. Although b'diavad you would be yaitzei mincha at the time of a half hour after chatzos, but tachlis in the Beis Hamikdash they didn't bring the korban then. 99% of the time they didn't bring the korban tamid until much much later. So therefore, when we want to mimic the zman korban tamid, we by davening mincha we should daven mincha dafka mincha tana. We should always wait until 3:30 in the afternoon. We should always wait until 9.5 hours into the day. Before we daven minchas, that was a machlekes of Rishonim. So even though we look in the classic poskim, it sounds like it's better to be choishesh to daven mincha ketana. It's better not to daven mincha gedola on a regular basis. In the olam hayeshivas, it's become nahug to daven mincha gedola even mechatchila shel mechatchila. otherwise it would interfere with the afternoon Seder. It was other cheshbonos, people were in a rush. The Maaseh Minhag has become now pretty much in, just about universal. People daven Mincha Gedolah L'chatchila. I always try to daven Mincha Gedolah. I recommend daven Mincha Gedolah for a simple practical reason. If you wait to daven Mincha Ketana, so half the time you're going to forget daven Mincha, especially in the winter time. So whenever you get first time to daven Mincha, is always a good time to daven Mincha. So we're not cheshish for those Rishonim who say that it's better to daven Mincha Ketana on a regular basis. So Tzvi Yosef Frank quotes in his say from Mikra Kodesh from Chaim Berlin. Reb Chaim Berlin lived, he was the Tziv's son. He was a rabbi in Moscow and then eventually moved to Eretz Yisrael. So he became close to Tziv Yosef Frank. So Tziv Yosef Frank quotes from Reb Chaim Berlin, who says that he thinks that when Erev Pesach falls out on Erev Shabbos, even the Machmirim would permit you to daven Mincha Gedolah. Even if you never daven Mincha Gedolah, this Friday, everyone can daven. Maybe we should have Mincha Gedolah, just to be Yetzir the Shita. Everyone agrees that L'chad Chila, Shem L'chad Chila, probably not such a bad idea on a regular Erev Pesach to have an early Mincha, but whatever, not for now. But a person can daven even L'chad Chila, Shem L'chad Chila, this Friday afternoon, Mincha Gedolah, because this Friday afternoon, Tzataka the Karban Talmud was actually brought on the buzzer, literally on a half hour after Chatzos. Even that, Rav Tzvi Yosef Frank isn't sure. He quotes this Pesach, and then he says, maybe that once Chazal and Mesach, according to those Rishon, that Mesach to David Mincha Ketana, so maybe they were Mesach across the board. It's a low pluk. So he spends 10 pages trying to figure out whether this Diak of Rav Chaim Berlin is right or not. For us, it's nice shtickle Torah, but it's not relevant for us. We daven Mincha Gedolah, even L'chad Chil on a regular Tuesday afternoon. But even according to those Rishon Malachmas, this was a Chiddush of Rav Chaim Berlin, that this Friday for sure you could daven Mincha Gedolah. Are there any more?
Go back to the way you said the fortune of the Mincha in the 12th grade. Isn't there like a ration for which the students apply a 12th day Mamash is his Mamash?
There's a steer in Rashi. There's one place Rashi in the Gemara seems to say that the real, right? The Gemara doesn't say it. The Gemara says in Yom Beferish is Midr Rabbanan. There's Rashi one place that seems to ignore that line in the Gemara, right?
But that sheet that I don't actually argue is not based
Are there any other nafkaminas, the Ladina, more practical nafkaminas for us when the first Seder falls out on a Friday night? So within the first of the mitzvahs that we perform on the Seder, there may be a big difference. That's the mitzvah Kadesh. The mitzvah Kadesh is usually a dual mitzvah. We perform first the mitzvah Kiddush, with the saying of Kiddush, and we also perform the mitzvah, the first of the Dalei Kosis. I think it even says in some of the Haggadahs. At this point, Tzorech Lechavim, let's say it's in the Kiddush, and today Dalei Kosis, because they're really two mitzvahs that rolled into one. These mitzvahs that we perform by reciting Kaddish on a regular Seder night are usually both midrabanan. Kiddush and Yom Tov, at least according to the Magen Mishnah, is only midrabanan. The Rambam doesn't sound the way. The Rambam sounds like Kiddush on Friday night is actually Kiddush on Yom Tov night is actually a mitzvah deraisa. The Rambam seems to say that the mitzvah Zochus of Shabbos Tekacho. So the word Shabbos doesn't mean literally Saturday, but it means anytime there's a mitzvah of Shvisa b'malacha. The Rambam has a lashon that Kshem Shemitzvah l'kaddish b'leil Shabbos, Kach Mitzvah l'kaddish b'leil Yom Tovim, Shekulam Nikru Shabbos Hashem. That the Yom Tovim also called the Shabbos in halacha. The Yom Rishon Shabbosim, Malachos HaShabbos. So since the Torah considers Yom Tov to be like a quasi Shabbos, the mitzvah deraisa of Zochus of Shabbos Kachem applies. That's what the Rambam seems to say. But the Magen Mishnah seems to ignore this round. The Magen Mishnah writes, not only you should just know that Kiddush and Yom Tov is only midrabanan. That's in the book of Rambam, the Mishnah, the later Chorim quote this Magen Mishnah, even though from the Rambam itself doesn't sound that way. But whatever it is, assuming that Kiddush and Yom Tov is only midrabanan, the first of the Dalei Kosis is probably only midrabanan also, because Dalei Kosis is only midrabanan. Unless one follows the Lashon HaRambam, and this one also, the Rambam is a Lashon, Nuchas Chomitz HaMatzah, that the drinking of the Dalei Kosis may be a Diaraisa. Vishtei in the Chumash to drink Dalei Kosis. So it doesn't say in the Chumash itself, but it does say in the Chumash that we are Sara Hotzi Misham, there's a mitzvah to feel that you left Mitzrayim. B'chol dor v'dor chayev adam l'ur s'atz because you got some Mitzrayim. So that's a din min ha-Torah. We are Sara Hotzi Misham, you have to mamash feel, as the Rambam quotes other psukim, z'chad to kiev adis of Mitzrayim, that there's a din min ha-Torah to feel that you, ki'ilu you left Mitzrayim. So the Rambam adds on, not only is there a mitzvah min ha-Torah to feel like you left Mitzrayim, there's a mitzvah min ha-Torah to demonstrate that you left Mitzrayim. B'chol dor v'dor chayev adam, the Rambam adds to the Mishnah. The Mishnah says liros, and the Rambam adds hey, chayev adam l'haros asatzmo, kiliyotz in Mitzrayim, which means you have to demonstrate like you left Mitzrayim. How do you do that? So min ha-Torah, there's no way to do it. Min ha-Torah, you do whatever you want. Min ha-Torah, you put on a play. Min ha-Torah, you walk around with matzahs on your shoulder. Min ha-Torah, you do whatever you want. Any demonstration, any acting out of the secret system tribe is considered to be part of the mitzvah deraisa. So the Rambam says that midrabanan, they were misak in two specific ways of acting. One is through drinking dal kosis, and the other is through leaning. So even though the protim of this mitzvah are only midrabanan, but the basic mitzvah is deraisa. This is like the famous shit that's around about a lot of mitzvahs, like tefillah. The Rambam holds as the mitzvah to daven every day min haTorah. When you daven, what you daven, where you daven, those are all midrabanan. But the basic mitzvah is a mitzvah deraisa. So the Rambam seems to say that here in Chometz Matz as well. There's a basic mitzvah in the Torah to demonstrate Yetzias Mitzrayim. That's part of one of the chiyuv on Pesach night. How do you do it? However you want to do it. With deraisa, you can put on whatever show you want. With the Rabbanan, the show has to be derech dalekaisis, derech haseba, derech eris, etc. So according to the Rambam, there is a little bit of a mashu of a mitzvah deraisa in terms of dalekaisis. So both in terms of the sipatis tribe aspect, as well as maybe kiddush on yomtiv, but an outright mitzvah deraisa, we're not quite sure we have on a regular Pesach night in terms of the first of the kaisis. But when the seder falls out on Friday night, then for sure we have a deraisa. Then we have the deraisa of kiddush on Shabbos, no worse than any other Shabbos. So of course there's a mitzvah deraisa of zoch v'shem Shabbos nekacho. Is there any difference to halacha whether it's a deraisa, derabbanan, making the same kiddush anyway? It's an afkamin ladina. So the Mishnah Berurah thinks it's an afkamin ladina because this is part of the Mishnah Berurah's whole theory about the kezesim and revieses. The aduah meforsam, there was a big machlekes in the Gedolia Polsky in the last couple hundred years about a lot of the shiurim that we have in terms of kezayis and kebetzes and revieses. All the shiurim are all related to one another. So there's lachlekes to Beit Behuda and others about whether the shiurim have gotten bigger, gotten smaller, whole complicated cheshbonos in terms of the shiurim. So basically, the Mishnah Berurah says that he thinks that we should treat the summer like a sfeika d'dina. When it comes to the araisas, we should try to be machmir. When it comes to the rabbanans, we can take the smaller of the shiurim. So what are the araisas? The Mishnah Berurah goes to the list. So the araisas at the seder, achilas matzas the araisa. What are the rabbanans? Achilas maris the rabbanan, karech the rabbanan. So you can make cheshbonos based on this. What about the dalek kosis? So the Mishnah Berurah says dalek kosis is automated to rabbanan, so therefore you could use the smaller of the kosis. So then the Mishnah Berurah says, but if the first night of Yom Tov falls out on Shabbos, so then the first kos becomes like a deraisa because of kiddush, and therefore one should really opt for the larger shear if one is able to. But l'chor, that's a big chiddush that the Mishnah Berurah is saying, because even if you say that kiddush in Friday night is deraisa, which it is, according to most of the Rishonim, it's only bidvara midaraisa. It's min haTorah. You just have to talk about kiddush. You don't have to do it on a cup of wine. The requirement of it in kiddush al yayin is only a mitzvah midirabanan. So vis-a-vis the mitzvah derabanan, I can take a smaller shear. So here the Mishnah Berurah has a chiddush. He writes that even though Mishnah Berurah also knew that he paskins in Siman Reish Ayin Aleph, he paskins on Shabbos. Most of the Rishonim, the Kiddush al Yayin is on a midrabanan, but the Mishnah Berurah says that even though the details of wine are only midrabanan, since the Ikar mitzvah is a mitzvah deraisa, so maybe it's more appropriate to take the larger shear. It's ready for Sachirish. So others are not so sure about that. Others say, if min haTorah, Yotze with Tefillah, Yotze with saying Gechabes, Yotze with saying words alone, Yotze with Chulu. The fact that you need yayin, tachlas is derabanan. So if you're willing to say that mitzvah is derabanan, you can be mekel on, so then why all of a sudden Friday night you have to come up with the bigger shiur? So it's a question. One could be argue with the Mishnah Berurah in that direction. One could argue with the Mishnah Berurah in the other direction. One could say, now wait a second, if you're already taking that idea that any chashashas of deraisas needs bigger shiurim, so then maybe on a regular Seder night it's also deraisa, according to the Rambam. Maybe all the delicacies are chashash deraisa, according to the Rambam of derech eris. So you could go either direction. You want to disagree with the Mishnah Berurah l'kula, you want to disagree with the Mishnah Berurah l'chumrah. So you tell me which way you want to go. I'll give you an argument for either way. But Mishnah Berurah walked the middle path. Mishnah Berurah thought that when it comes to a seder on a regular night, so then we could be making on the smaller shiur of revias. When it comes to a Pesach night, a seder night on a Friday night, then he thought that the more correct thing to do is to take the larger shiur. The ikamikah, then we pask in the small shiur was really good altogether. So those in the small shiur was approximately 3 ounces or so, maybe according to some a drop more, but in that range. So the ikamikah, then we pask in the small shiur is good for everything. Those who want to be machmir, someone Friday night have a little bit of a bigger cup. Oops. Other nights take a little bit of a cup, whatever different details of the shiur are.
Even if you're machmir from the shiur, that's only the Baal Bosses making kiddush, though, right?
Right. Everyone else is, that's just out there, the Brisker Rav. That's only Derech Eretz. Okay, maybe. Are there any other differences, other things that we should be aware of on when the Seder comes out on Friday night? So there is a question in terms of picking out the matzahs. What can be the problem of picking out the matzahs? You can run, according to some folks, we can run into a potential problem of boirer in terms of sorting out the matzahs. Sometimes you open up that big box of matzahs and you see three quarters of them are broken. It used to be years ago, I don't think they sell anymore the boxes of broken. They still sell them.
No,
they still,
yeah.
They still sell them.
Yeah.
It's a few dollars cheaper.
And yeah. Which the brands that I saw, I didn't even see them.
The
Shatz. Oh, the
Shatz.
Okay.
I'm going at
11:30. Where we can come. And I got plenty of whole matzahs. I got plenty of whole matzahs that are probably broken matzahs, but okay. I know the brand I buy is always they just sell them as regulars. Okay, anyway, but they charge me for regulars.
You can also get
broken ones. Okay.
But broken.
Okay, whatever it is, well, everyone's matzah should be good. Okay, so the question is, let's say you have a box, and you open up the box, and lo and behold, there are some broken, there are some whole ones. So you want to start to sort out which matzahs are which. So what could possibly be a problem of that? Maybe a shalav boira. But in Yontif, we're usually not thinking in terms of boira. Maybe we should be, but we're not. For a moment, we'll talk about Shabbos first. But on Shabbos, of course, there's a problem of boira. So the question is this considered to be boira? Is this bechlal considered to be a problem of boira? So there is a klal in the sugya of boira that in order for boira to be a problem, it has to be what's called beis minim. It has to be two different things that are mixed together. So the truth is, even the din of beis minim is really a chiddush. The original din of boira, as appears in the Gemara, is when you have an oichel and a psoilas. So you have a big pile of food, and inside the pile of food you have some pebbles, you have some dirt. Well, let's say in the Siddur, the Pasuk, the Mishkan, you had a big pile of flour, and then you have some pebbles that are inside the flour. So when you have things which are oichel, things that are psoilas mixed together, so the removing of one from the other is going to potentially run into a problem of boira. So there is a machlekes of Rishonim. What if there's no psoilas here? There's nothing really bad. It's just what we call shnei minim. I have peanuts and raisins in the same bowl. Neither of them is bad. They're just two different things. Is that considered to be a problem of boira altogether? So that's a machlekes of Rishonim. Although Rashi seems to say that that's bechlal not considered to be boira. Most of the Rishonim followed the view of Tosfos, of course, from Rabbeinu Hananel. The simple pshat in the halach is that we pask in the halach that even shnei minim is a potential problem of boira. Why exactly is shnei minim considered to be a potential problem of boira? So that's also a nuance of Rishonim. So the Tosfos seems to say that the reason why shnei minim is a problem of boira is because it's also like oichel and psoilas, because you want one and you don't want the other. Not that I don't want the other forever. I like raisins. I just don't want raisins right now. Right now I want to have peanuts. So lefi hamachal lefi hazman, right now one is considered to be the quote-unquote oichel and the other is considered to be the quote-unquote psoilas. So there would be a problem of boira even on shnei minim. That's what we pask in Shulchan Aruch, that shnei minim is really a cheshash of a derais. It's a real problem in HaTorah. All the rules of boira would apply even though there's no per se objective psoilas. But shnei minim is considered to be a problem. What if it's not literally shnei minim? What if it's menechad, but some are bigger and some are smaller? So we got a bunch of things together on the table. They're all good, and they're all edible, and they're all the same basic min. But one is bigger and one is smaller, and I really want the bigger piece. I don't want the smaller pieces. Would that be subject to boira? So that's a machlekes the Ramon the Taz. So although the Taz is machmer and this the Ramon's make on this, the Ramon says, nah, min echad is a garnish and garnish. That's nothing. That's how we pass it. Most of the late Achronim write like the Ramon that we're making. So if you have oichel and psoilas, that's real boira. If you have shnei minim, we pass it. That's also a chashash of real boira. But if it's min echad, it's just difference of sizes, that's nothing. That's not considered to be boira. You don't have to worry about that bechalal and Shabbos. So now the question becomes, when you have matzahs, so if I would have big whole matzahs and small whole matzahs, that's the Ramos says there's no boira at all. But here I don't have whole matzahs. I have whole matzahs and broken matzahs. So a broken matzahs and whole matzahs considered to be min echad, or broken matzahs and whole matzahs considered to be shnei minim. How do you magdir the shvar, the broken pieces, are they considered to be fundamentally the same matzah or not? So this is a big question to Poskim, and this really is a throwback to a fundamental question that we've spoken about a lot in Kol HaBoker over the last couple of years. This permeates many malachas. How do you define certain things in Hilchos Shabbos, either in terms of Metzias or in terms of Halacha? If you ask, it's hard to formulate the question to someone who's not from, they wouldn't know what you're talking about, but if Lu Yitzuya, well, instead of not from, let's say it's Chol HaMoed. It's Chol HaMoed, I'm going on a trip. So I want to know, is there a difference between a whole matzah and a matzah that's cracked a little bit? What's the difference? This is a matzah, this is a matzah, it's all the same matzahs. But when it comes to the Seder, when it comes, I want to put out three whole matzahs. So then I'm starting to get nervous. I'm very careful, I'm being mocked, but is this a whole matzah, not a whole matzah? So what's the reason why I'm being mocked, but the reason why I really care why it's a whole matzah or a broken matzah, has nothing to do with a physical need. It has to do with a spiritual need. It's a ruchnis, it's a tayridik need, it's a halachic need. So does a halachic need, does a halachic definition, does the halacha define what's called Eichelim Psalus, or does the mitzvah define what's called Eichelim Psalus? I happen to have something that's perfectly good physically, but halachically it's problematic. Is that called Eichelim Psalus?
Does price have criteria? Because whole is, $22 and broken is $15,
$20. Yeah, that's the Daf Kamina and the Stov Tachas, but by sitting down, but by the time third day Chol HaMoed rolls around, so I it doesn't really bother me. I would take one or the other, so that doesn't matter. The question is now, by the Seder, now I'm trying to create like a Mishnah, now it concerns me. So the Poskim have the Shaila, many, many different cases. Let's say the Moshul, the Poskim discuss, you have a lot of apples all thrown together in a basket. It looks like they're all the same red apples. All of them are the same apples, except some of the apples are Orla, and some of the apples are not Orla. So I start to separate and move around. Whether you're allowed to move Orla, that's a different story. But I'm leaving out the details of Mukta. I'm starting to separate the Orla apples from the kosher apples. Is that called the Boyer? So on the one hand, physically, they're all the same apples. On the other hand, halachically, they're different. Well, let's say I have silverware. There are a lot of forks all thrown together. So I got 100 forks. Some of the forks are treif. So I start to separate the bad forks out of the good forks. Is that considered to be Boyer or not? So I'm separating bad from good. On the other hand, it's not really bad. It's not physically bad. It's halachically bad. So this is somewhat of an unresolved question in the Gedolia Poskim. Where do you draw the line? What's considered to be Oichelim Psalus? What's considered to be Shnei Minim? Is this considered to be a problem or not? So some want to suggest that maybe it depends on when I'm actually separating it for. If I'm separating it at the Seder, I'm separating it for Shabbos lunch because I really want to be machpid at that moment in terms of Lecha Mishnah, maybe that would be a problem. Let's say I'm trying to take an extra piece of matzah at the end of the meal or something just to grab something to eat, so then I don't really care whether it's a whole matzah or a broken matzah. Maybe at that point it wouldn't be Eichelim Psalus. That's already a funny kind of Agdara. It means whether or not it's called Bur or not depends on the context of what and when you're doing it. That's already also a Chiddush. It's somewhat unclear in the Poskim whether there would be Bur issues. Let's take the worst case scenario. Let's assume there would be a problem with Bur and these kinds of matzahs. So what should you do? So I come Friday night. The best thing to do is set up the matzahs before Shabbat. But it comes Friday, I forgot to set them up. So it comes Friday night, I want to start sticking out my matzahs. So I open up the box, and I see on the top of the box is already a broken matzah. What do I do? So the Mishnah Berurah has a chiddush in Hilchos Boreir. The Mishnah Berurah says that when you have not a real tarogus, but you have things piled one on top of another, and nothing is really bad. It's just that one is better than the other. It means one is good for Lechem Mishnah, the other is not. But it's not that there's anything really spoiled here. So he says it's not a real Be'ur B'yachad, it's just one thing piled on top of another. Mishnah Berurah is a whole cheshbon why he thinks that it's mutter to take off the top matzah and then go to the next one and take off the top one and keep on going until you find the one that's a whole matzah. If it would be a total balagan, a total chaos thrown together, that would be a much more serious problem. Then you would have to davka take the good from the bad for right away. That would be more complicated. But since it's piled up one on top of another, so Mishnah Berurah thinks that he doesn't think that's a problem of removing the bad from the good. So he says, just do it right before the Seder. Just as regular Berurah you do right before the meal, that would be okay. I'm not going to get to matzah until 3 hours from now. So there are more rights, and that's called miyad. And in the rules of Berurah, the Berurah, you're permitted to take good from bad with your hands for immediate use. Immediate use means right before the meal, even though it's not yet for dessert. It's not for another 3 hours.
I think that's the other question. You want to save the whole matzah on Shabbos, and you don't want to use the whole matzah, so you want to take.
So you want to davka take the broken ones.
So you definitely want the broken ones. That's mechalik. Would that be a bigger problem?
I mean, that's worse because the reason why you want the.
You want to save money, so you want to save money. You want to take the bad from the good.
It's the bottom line is the way the matzahs are. They're always in boxes. So as long as you look at the top one, if the top one is what you want, so you take it for right away. If you don't like the top one, you can move it out of the way and go to the next one and take it for right away. Everything should be done right away.
It's possible this is a better case because you're probably going to be using the broken matzahs anyway.
You mean you're going to throw in the broken matzahs for everyone else? Right. Okay. I mean, if you take the broken ones and put them on the table, that's fine. But if you're not going to bring the broken ones to later, you're just going to get the broken ones out of the way to get to the whole ones, that's a chashash of burrs. Unless you go with this Mishnah Berurah. The bottom line is that we're not even sure there's a problem in the first place. But even according to the Machmirim, as long as the matzahs are piled up in a box, So then you should do this right before you're about to start the Seder. So you take off, if the top one happens to be broken, take it away. Go to the next one's broken. Eventually you get the one that's whole. So okay, that'll be another incentive to buy boxes of broken matzah. That way you avoid any of the shadows altogether. Unless your whole ones were also broken ones. Okay, so now that we've finished talking about the matzah, let's move into the maror. Are there any issues in terms of a maror? So there could be issues of maror, depending on which kind of maror a person is using. So, you know, the Mishnah tells us in the second parak of Maseches Pesachim that there are different species of maror that are acceptable, and it's not clear exactly what all those species are practically. The one that we have a very, very clear Masorah on is lettuce. Rashi tells us, Rashi uses the word lituga, which is a Latin word, the old French word for we call lettuce. So that's for sure considered to be one of the Chameshes Mini Maror, so we assume that that's perfectly okay. In Eastern Europe, that was a big problem because they couldn't get lettuce. So they used to substitute horseradish for lettuce. And that was a big question, whether that's even good altogether. There were some poskim who weren't so convinced that horseradish meets all the criteria of being a maror. But nice and minig, in Eastern Europe, for hundreds of years, our grandparents used horseradish. So we're not going to be motzilaz on horseradish, even though there was some who were motzilaz on horseradish. But we'll leave it the way it is. So those who are still using horseradish, so there's a machlekes in the poskim about how exactly to prepare that horseradish. So some poskim said that you have to take whole pieces of horseradish, take a big white stalk of horseradish, cut it up into big chunks, and have to take a whole chunk of the horseradish. If you're going to start to chop up the horseradish and grate up the horseradish, it's going to weaken the tam. And the Gemara says you have to have tam mora. You're not allowed to do anything that changes the tam of mora. Even though the romaine lettuce doesn't have any tam mora, but that's what the Rishami already asked the question. Rishami says, the lettuce doesn't taste all that bitter. So the Rishami says, if you leave it in the ground long enough, it'll turn bitter. So that's what the Chazanish said, so you have to leave it in the ground long enough. And the Minigraelim is not like that. The Minigraelim is that since it's a type of a moror, it's a type of a species that will become bitter, even though you personally didn't leave it long enough, that's also okay. That's what the Minigraelim has been around for quite some time. But you can't do anything to alter the taste of the maror. So if you cook the maror, it's no good. If you vinegar the maror, it's no good. So some poskim said that if you start to grate up the maror, that's going to weaken the taste of the maror. So you wouldn't be, I'd say, you have to take mamish whole chunks of horseradish. So other poskim said they weren't so sure that if you take whole chunks of horseradish with the yaitze altogether, they thought that was considered to be shaloka derech achila, from a shugan, who would eat horseradish, then it's going to collapse from eating chunks of horseradish. So therefore, you have to grate the horseradish. So you had a machlekes min akotza lakotza. Some poskim said you're not allowed to grate it, and others said you have to grate it. So the minhag ha'olam is to grate the horseradish. I was a little boy, we used to use the white horseradish, so it has to be grated. So the question becomes, can you prepare, can you grate the horseradish? We would like to try to grate the horseradish as late as possible. If you're going to grate it 3 days before, then it's not going to lose all the taste, and it's going to be no good according to anybody. So we would opt to grate the horseradish right before it's used. The problem is on Friday night, that's a big problem, because that's a potential problem of tochein, of grinding. So even though there is a big machlekes of Rishonim about whether grinding is permitted to be done right before the meal, we spoke a lot about this also in the morning chaburas, that according to the Rashba, you're allowed to grind things, you're allowed to cut things up right before the meal, like just like bora is mutter derech achila, so tochein is also mutter derech achila. So it's not so simple. First of all, it's not so simple that we pass it like the Rashba. And then number two, even the Rashba may agree that that may only be mutter if you cut things up, let's say with a knife or something, you cut into small pieces, but if you actually grind, maybe that would be a problem, as the Chazon Ish argues. And this is going to be even worse because you're using a kli amyuchel lekach, you're using a kli, like a grinder, using something that's designated to do grinding with that in and of itself is going to spell trouble. So the bottom line is, you shouldn't be, on Friday night for sure, you shouldn't be preparing the maror. You should be preparing the maror from before Shabbos. If for whatever reason you forgot, find lettuce and find someone else with his extra ground maror, the serious shail of grinding the maror on Friday night. There are some other shadows that come up on Friday night. There's a question of preparation of the salt water in terms of for the tivulim, in terms of dipping at the Seder. So first of all, the whole dipping in salt water is only a minig from the Rishonim, the whole idea of salt water. There's a din in the Mishnah, you have to dip two times. That's a Ferish Mishnah, which says, so if the Manishtan appears in the Mishnah, you have to dip the maror into charoses, then you have to dip the karpas into something. What is that something? So there are different opinions in the Rishon, but that something is. So the Rambam says you dip it into the Charoses. The Rambam says you dip everything into the Charoses. The Rambam says you dip the matzah into the Charoses. Everything was being dipped by the Rambam. But it has become that you don't dip it into charos, you dip it into salt water. So how do you, what possible shock could it be in terms of salt water? So there's a mishnah in the end of Masech Shabbos, later in Masech Shabbos, it talks about a possible problem of making salt water on Shabbos, because preparing salt water was considered to be part of like a vinegaring process, part of a marinating process, which is problematic on Shabbos. So therefore Chazal said that you shouldn't prepare these very, very heavy concentrations of the salt water. That may be a potential problem on Shabbos. So one should try to prepare the salt water from before Shabbos. If for whatever reason one forgot to, so the post came out and said, that salt water is not so concentrated. If you put a little bit of salt in, you can barely taste it. So that technically would really be okay. But if a person should try l'chadchila to prepare the salt water from before Shabbos, it shouldn't be any chashash whatsoever in terms of that discussion in the mission, the end of the Shabbos, about possibly salting. So again, a few odds and ends, a couple of things here and there change when the first Seder falls out on a Friday night. Some of the things change a little bit in terms of Erev Pesach. Some things change a little bit perhaps in terms of Kiddush, in terms of Matzah, in terms of Mor, in terms of the Mei Melech. A couple of nuances here and there where Shabbos, you have to keep in mind that Shabbos, not only in terms of the details of the Seder as well. Okay, so.